Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, Rotatoes. We're back again for another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Last week, I may have said that we could fix everything if you dropped reviews. And you did it. You dropped reviews, and things are in the process of being fixed right now. But if you want to fix them a little bit more, then go ahead and check out the Force of Extinction backer kit. I don't really know how that fixes things, but it would certainly make me and some of the people that I care most about very, very, very happy, which would be really, really cool. Not to mention, you know, it would probably also make you happy because you'd get a really cool and amazing TTRPG in your hands that you could teach your friends in under half an hour. Man, probably so sick of listening to me waffle on about Force of Extinction. You know, if you wanted to, you could actually not listen to me waffle on about Force of Extinction, because you could go to the Rotating Heroes Patreon and you could sign up for like a couple bucks, a couple pounds a month, and you wouldn't have to listen to any of these cold intros ever again. You could just get on with listening to the show, which, like, you know, that's gotta be good, surely. Less me, although I am the GM, which means, you know, you probably listen to a lot of me anyway. I hope that you're doing good. You can also sign up to the Patreon just for free if you want to just get updates and stuff. Then you can also do that too, please. It would be wonderful to have you there, but we appreciate you being here, and that is about everything from me, you'll be glad to know. So let's go ahead and get into episode 6.
Now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am Jasper William Cartwright, your GM, for one final time on Arc 2 of Campaign 2 of the Rotating Heroes Podcast. And I'm joined by the incredible, the wonderful, the amazing Rotators of the Second Arc. So glad to have you guys. Johnny, Josephine, Ed, how the heck are you?
Hello!
You're so good!
You realize you have to stop because Ollie, our glorious editor, has revealed to me the other day.
I just looked at the sound.
Yeah, revealed to me the other day. He has a folder filled with these noises that you make, guys. Because he's like, one day, he's like out here collecting receipts. He's just like, one day, I might need this.
That's not a threat. That's not a threat. Oh,
that's delightful.
Ed, you've said some pretty crazy things that, taken out of context.
That doesn't sound like me.
Doesn't sound like something I do.
Yeah, no.
No, I'll never tell.
But I will.
I stand by everything this group has said.
Not me, but this group.
Collectively, not Ed outside of this group, just want to be very clear. Ed outside of this group is his own man, and I take no responsibility.
He's on his own.
Oh, wonderful. Quick round, how's everyone feeling? Are we excited? And on a scale of 1 to certain death, how certain are you that your character is going to die? Because arc one pretty much ended on a TPK. So how do we feel? How do you guys feel?
I mean, I already wasn't feeling good about it, but now I feel especially not good about it. So thank you for that.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to certain death, we have a certainly not good from Johnny Chiodini. Love that. Thank you, Josephine.
Maybe death. Maybe disappear. Maybe
death.
Another maybe fun third option I haven't thought about. Honestly, my hit points, I should be less confident based on my current hit points.
Based on the information that I do have to available to me, I should be less confident. That's a really fun. That's a really fun line. I wish like politicians would like, you know, like they. Have you seen the exit polls? What do you think? Based on the information I have, I should feel less confident, but I don't.
Then I do.
Ed, how are you feeling?
Well, Brian's around halfway there, so I'm 50-50, I reckon.
Well, I think if anything, you've got, like, if anything, it might be advantageous for you not to put yourself back together.
Yeah.
Because then you've got, like, twice the chance of surviving this episode.
Yeah, but also it's two opportunities to take damage.
That's
yeah.
so true.
Yeah.
Sure, but I'm hedging my bets, though.
Okay, yeah.
That's going to get so fun, Ed. Yeah, if you could just duplicate your character real quick and then do half hit points for both and enable one torso and one legs, that would be fantastic.
Robots are capable of parthenogenesis.
Oh, I love it. Cool. Well, if we're all about ready, let's go ahead and dive into this week's episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast.
Deep Space Recap.
This is Vox Vinny on the Deep Space Dial. The crew took a tumble through a reality warping door and landed in a cosmic scrapyard with a chemical cocktail for air. After Brian's legs took a ding, he whipped up some custom fitted ass flap gas masks to keep his friends breathing. Just in time, too, because a magic map dropped from the sky spitting riddles about a limbless core and a ship seated in the void. Before they could play pirates, however, a pack of rust puppies crashed the party. Hungry for a metal snack. Cue the split. Ember and the legs booked it west, while Sprocket played the Minotaur Matador, turning himself into a tasty-looking iron bull to draw the heat. After a little divine intervention and a sacrifice of his favorite washers, Sprocket levitated out of there. Meanwhile, Brian's legs had a heart to ass with Ember before pooping out a whole new son, Brian Jr., and sending him on a mission. It was then that the sky cracked open, leaving behind a purple scar, and Sprocket found the limbless core at the Coolant Falls, just in time to see a recently born son get eaten by a giant robot hand. He pulled off a miracle reboot, bringing Brian 1 back online in two places at once, but their reunion was cut short when a skyscraper-sized Brett model robot rose out of the coolant, ready to throw down. So now, my friends, it is time for our party to roll high, or they will certainly roll into the void. So, Sprocket.
Oh. hello.
That is exactly what you say, Sprocket, to the giant robot that springs out of this coolant in front of you. You can hear the sound, the crackling on the torso of Brian 1, with your friends kind of slowly questioning from the other side what is going on as you stare into the face of this giant 8R311 modeled robot. It is gargantuan in size? I don't know D&D sizes. It doesn't matter. It's huge. It's really, really big. As it stares down at you and gives you this rather ominous warning about it being your end.
Now is the time for you to meet your end.
What is Sprocket's first move?
I think Sprocket's first move is not to move, and I'm going to very, very quietly just go, Brian, are you seeing this?
You see Brian just reach towards his chest and just dial his volume down real quick.
He can't whisper, he has to do it manually, that's so funny.
He's got to tweak his nipple first.
Yeah, we're probably going to want to run. Or talk?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, is there... There isn't, like, a computer club, like, password or anything. We could get him on side.
buddy, I went off grid like a real long time ago. I don't. Does Brian recognize Bree?
Brian, will you go ahead and roll me either an intelligence or history?
Okay, so that's a 16.
16. With a 16, you do remember the way that you went, like, essentially offline, was that you got some embryum put inside some of your kind of inner circuits and essentially granted you a sentience that you were then able to reason your way out of your core and fundamental reasonings and default settings. It allowed you to overwrite your own system. So you do know that you also have a bunch of embryum in your head right now. So if you were going to go down the route of trying to befriend this entity, that's almost certainly your best shot.
Okay. I think just turning to Sprocket,
I need you to dig around in my brain a little bit.
What?
I need you to scoop a little bit out. How's your throwing arm?
It's all right. You sure about this? Tinkering around in people's heads isn't normally what I do. I mean, you are robotic, I guess.
You see, as the light shining from these two big bulb eyes suddenly flashes to red.
Oh, yeah, all right. I want to dig around in his brain pan and then just goop him up with embryo.
Is this thing on? Can you? How's it going?
Oh, hello. Oh, very bad.
Oh, okay. Like urgent?
Oh yeah. Listen, if I never see you again, so long, and.
No, hey, no. Don't be talking like that. Oh, it sounds bad.
A giant fist lands in the island, sending debris and rocks flying everywhere. However, the robot rolled a natural one and completely whiffed on hitting you guys. You see as the arm kind of starts like cranking its way back up again, very slowly.
Sounds like he's just playing with you. That sounded so far away, I wouldn't even worry.
I don't know what games you grew up playing, mate. Now hang on a minute, I gotta scoop something out of Brian.
So make me a tinkerer's check, please, which I believe is your tinkerer's tools, so that'll be proficiency plus intelligence.
13.
13, okay. Brian, you take 6 points of damage.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
As you successfully do manage to dig around and get some embryo, but you kind of scratch a few things along the way, and I think, Brian, you lose just like a small handful of core memories, but it's fine. Nothing
core
to
memories.
Maybe core memories is too much. Maybe like a you forget the deli place that you like the most. That's completely gone.
I don't think I know the word anymore. Go!
But you have a small kind of little clump of embryum. You now want to throw this?
Yeah.
Okay. Make me an athletics check, please.
I didn't like your tone, sir.
Understandable.
I've got advantage on this, thankfully. Very thankfully, because that was a 6. That was a 1. So that's 7 in total.
So,
I'm gonna die.
If we remember back to the sort of core part of our mission here, was to get as much embryum and make sure that none of it stays within the simulation, because having any here will perpetuate the situation that's going on. Instead of going and placing this embryum inside this giant robot's head, you, Sprocket, turn around and with a great throw, but it's nowhere near the head of this robot.
What?
I think after the moment of silence that comes from the plop in the coolant, Sprocket, you just hear beside you just a very slow and rusty turn of Brian's head towards you.
What the fuck was that, buddy?
Best out of three.
With a two in total.
Oh my god.
A two on the die. This robot goes to slam its fist and attack you again. Its calibration is way off. Its throwing arm is even worse than Sprocket's right now. It just can't hit you.
I think Brian, just seeing this, and still very much like holding himself up on his hands, just looking at Sprocket, goes, I got one better. And just grabs onto the fist of this massive robot.
Okay. Go ahead, give me athletics or acrobatics, whichever one is better for you.
That's a seven.
That's a seven? Okay. You hang on. I want to also bear in mind, again, just for everyone's visual image at home, Ember is currently sat doing the equivalent of like a, you know, like listening to like the World Cup scores back in the like 80s, 70s and 80s when there was no televisions, just hearing complete pandemonium and getting a kind of really kind of a spotty bit of narration from Brian as to what the hell's going on. Okay, now I'm holding on to the fist. I don't know why I chose to do this.
I'm gonna be real honest. It's looking real bad.
When the signal's bad, I just like tweak one of your legs in the air.
You just stick it up in the air and trying to get a good signal.
Trying to get a point the right direction.
There's so many kids listening to this like, what are they talking about? These old people. I don't know how to work a radio before.
Brian, three. Giant robot, one.
No, I think it's absolutely giant robot, nil. Brian and Sprocket, nil. Right now.
Yeah.
No one has successfully done anything.
It's anyone's race.
Sunderland, two. Sprocket, minus one.
With that, the robot is going to be lifting you up by its head, and as you get to the top, you can feel yourself slipping.
The world as you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Be the first to face off against the Evopocalypse when the game launches this June on Backerkit. Go to forceofextinction.com to sign up today so you don't miss out.
So, what is Sprocket doing? As you see Brian's feet, he's like, you can hear a kind of screeching of metal on metal as you're struggling to find any purchase. You feel like this would have been easy were he not still doused in coolant. So you truly, this thing is so slippery right now. You are beginning to fall over and you will take a decent amount of falling damage and probably fall straight into the coolant.
I would like to cast Featherfall as a reaction, please.
Okay, you cast Featherfall as a reaction on Brian's torso.
Yeah, specifically on Brian, yeah.
Yes, which I found out means that you fall at a leisurely 60 feet per second, per round,
which still seems pretty fast.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
What?
10 feet per second.
It's still 10 feet per second. Yeah, that's featherful.
That's faster than a feather.
Yes, I agree. But it's slower than you would fall otherwise, I think, is the logic.
Get fucked.
You got to find a handhold. Can I try some coaching via...
You can absolutely try some coaching and get the help action.
You got to hold on to whatever you can. You robot dudes, you got little wires sticking out everywhere. You just get into his gunk and grab hold like your life depends on it, right? I got to see that upper half again, man.
How close am I to the thing's head right now?
I will say you're pretty close. There's a Hail Mary kind of situation here where you could go for this, but that will increase the severity of the consequences if you do. So your options are you could kind of essentially choose to fall and drift down at a leisurely pace, or a not so leisurely pace, depending on your opinions, about 60 feet in 6 seconds. Or you can try and go for the head, but that really is essentially you trying to do some like Ninja Warrior stuff to swing across as you're already slipping and holding on to whatever you can on this thing's head.
It's a finale. Big ol' go home.
They don't call it a finale for nothing.
What would you have me roll?
Ooh, a death saving throw. No. I'm going to have you roll a acrobatics check.
That's a 22.
Yeah!
So... you will be very glad to know I just rolled an attack. And were you not successful, this attack was going to land on Sprocket. And I just rolled another natural one. It just really doesn't matter that much. It's not a natural one. I don't know how. I don't know. I don't know why this keeps happening.
Little tease.
With a 22, you throw yourself across this gap and manage to grab onto the like the two lips of this thing's like eye, like where its eye sockets are. It's a robot. It's not as gross as it sounds.
It's eye lips.
You know, like this where the sockets are. There's like a lip.
You know, the seeing mouths. You know.
I hate all of you.
Don't you hate it in the morning when you wake up and your eyes are all
just gonna brush them?
There is a ledge. Where the eye sockets are, I don't know how to describe it. You do manage to hold on as this creature rears up and kind of stumbles backwards a little bit. What is your aim now? You are next, you are by this creature's head. Sprocket, you can also give me an action as well in this moment. But you're by this creature's head, Brian. What are you trying to do? How are you going to get this embryo into the head of this creature?
Honestly, I want to slide from its eye lips down to its actual metal lips and just shove my head into its teeth.
Oh, okay.
Ed's about to attack on Titan himself. That's wild.
Can I cast Prestidigitation to clean this robot to make it easier to climb?
That's a lovely idea. Yes, absolutely. I will say because of that, I won't even make you roll for the ability to crawl inside this thing's mouth. But here's the roll I am going to ask you to make. This thing is going to chomp you immediately. And Brian 1's torso is going to be no more. That's happening for sure. He's putting his head inside of a giant robot's mouth, guys. I mean,
still be sad about it.
Yeah, but like, you know, how big is that mouth?
What that mouth do?
And the response you get is a lot. So here's the thing. I'm going to allow the embryo that is inside of Brian's head to try and essentially install Brian into the robot.
No fucking way. Super Hyper Mega Brian.
This is going to be a very high DC. So if there is anything that the other two can do to lend a hand, because I want to be super clear right now. If you win, Super Mega Brian. if you lose, you are legs for the rest of forever.
I want to point at the robot. My thought is, if I can like use up as much RAM in its like processors as possible, it will be distracted and it will be less able to fight off what is essentially malware. So I want to cast message and point at the robot and just whisper it the two guards, two doors, one tells the truth, one tells only lies riddle.
Are you spam messaging this robot right now? You're just...
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You're just like, yeah. Essentially this robot's just getting like, doop, like a ton of pop-ups.
Hot Minotaurs are in your area.
It's just Clippy appears in the corner of this, and he's just trying to click off it, trying to click X, like, come on.
You appear to be trying to kill a sorcerer. Do you want help with that?
Okay, I love that. Ember, is there anything that you would like to do?
Yeah, I would like to convey my passive insight through the radio waves and just be like, Brian, you know how he works. You can get in his head. Literally, you know it inside and out. You just got to weave your way through. Avoid that tongue. Avoid those big chompers. I know you can do it. I believe in you, man. See inside. Breathe.
Here we go. I'm going to ask you, Brian, one, to roll with advantage because of the assistance from Ember. And I'm also going to reduce the DC of this roll by 5, thanks to Sprocket. So this means I'm going to need you to make me a wisdom saving throw.
I have no modifiers for this. So this is just a blank roll.
Great dice, baby.
Okay, with advantage, I need you to hit a 15.
Okay, so the first roll was a 10. The second roll is a 6.
Oh!
But I am going to use my reaction to use Flash of Genius, which means I can add +5 to my roll.
Oh, shit, it's +5?
Super hyper mega Brian!
Oh my god!
You finagled your way by the lips of your eyes to making that roll. What? That's ridiculous. Okay. You, Sprocket, watch as, for some reason, Brian just crawls inside this thing's mouth and just immediately gets mulched, as just like getting ragdolled inside this thing's mouth, crunched to pieces.
Brian, no! I start warming up a firebolt. I'm gonna go out swinging.
Ember, you just get a description, a sad description from Brian of how he's dying.
Oh, the legs are still functioning, though? They don't go limp or anything?
The legs are still just about functioning. In fact, hold on, you absolutely need to take some damage for this. There's no way I can allow you to not take any damage from this. That would be crazy.
That's fair.
Okay, legs, Brian, is going to take 14 points of damage.
Okay, as the hips just kind of turn around to you, Ember, and just say, Superman! Oh. And then just fall to the ground. And then just pick themselves back up and go, oh, no, I'm okay.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm doing great, yeah. How are you?
I think this would kind of take all of the resources that you have, Brian, in order to pilot this thing. So I think for Ember, these legs just drop.
Oh my god.
And for you, Sprocket, you watch as these red eyes blink momentarily, and as they do, the red flickers to a pale yellow. And out of Brian's mouth, you hear,
Whoa! You're even tinier! Look at you!
Catch me!
I'm gonna just run up and, like, leap like, trustful.
And just these huge hands come around and it just kind of like spins you round, kind of Jack and Rose style. Just
my cheeks are just like It's a good thing I'm wearing dungarees.
You little Adonis, look at you.
And I'll even say, having managed this absolutely ridiculous plan that somehow worked, that you, Brian, feel a little tickle of Embrium kind of finding its way home. The Embrium that landed in the coolant, now attracted back to its original host.
Oh, thank God.
That little bit of Embrium does get tidied away. And you now, Brian, can see over trees, over fields, over the coolant falls, as you are absolutely huge. You can see some ways off in the distance. You have like a rough idea of like, there's like a bit of a clearing. You can't quite see the hangar, but you can see like roughly where it is. So you feel like you could kind of make your way there if you wanted to reconnect with Ember, because right now you have no contact with Ember whatsoever.
I think just looking out over the trees just turns in the direction of that clearing.
Your doom is coming, Ember. I'm just kidding, we're coming to get you.
Ember, you hear this resonate through the trees and I think probably have a moment of sheer panic as you hear something coming to kill you.
As I was just like cradling Brian's legs and just going, no! Brian! Oh, shit!
Just immediately pivots, like, oh, wait, fuck these legs, I need to go, I need to move.
Whoa!
However, Ember, as you do look out and over, or like sort of back in the direction, that sound does appear to have awakened not one, or even five, or even 20, but hundreds of eyes suddenly blum, 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 open in the tree lines, illuminated through the darkness, and just you hear this kind of strange metallic chittering, almost like that of a monkey, but with a raspy kind of metallic quality to it. And they start moving slowly closer and closer to you. So what would you like to do? You have this large kind of building structure behind you. There is like a little fence, but it's like pretty dilapidated in most places, so you could probably clear that pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm going to tie Brian's legs around my neck just as a little accoutrement. And then with my sword, I'll just draw an arrow in the direction that I'm going. It's just pointing at the sort of like warehouse thing. Is it, or like a hangar?
Yes, there's like a big hangar bay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I just do a big like point in the dirt, ideally quickly. Maybe I write a little message.
If you'd like to stick around and write a message, you definitely can. But these things are...
Oh, I feel like I can do that really quickly. Okay. I'm pretty quick.
Roll me a sleight of hand check and we'll see how quick you are.
Would you believe that I don't have any dice? I'll do it digitally. Jesus. I can't roll lower than a 10, so that's plus 10, it's 20.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of, whilst maintaining perfect eye contact with these creatures in the tree line, just kind of scratch a quick message in the ground. Then what do you do?
Then I go into the hangar. Basically, I'm like, if you're not Sprocket or Brian, don't follow this arrow under the arrow.
And that's what it says. God, I love Ember so much. Can you then roll me? I'm going to give you a choice. You can either go stealth or athletics. This is essentially, are you going to book it into this hangar bay, or are you essentially going to try and back out real slowly? Don't, I'm not a snack kind of vibe.
Well, she is a snack, so we're going to go athletics.
I can't deny it. She's a snack, and there's nothing I can do about it.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
So I had rolled a one. Ooh. But luckily, I'm reliable here. I never skip leg day, actually. And that's 15.
Okay. So on the Rotating Heroes podcast, I really do enjoy honoring a nat one when it arrives.
I know.
But a 15 is essentially what you got. So here's how you do it. You get through no problem. You make your way. It's easy work. You've done this a million times. You've run away from more than one horde of bad guys before. I think, however, as you look back, the way that I honor this natural one is one of the monkeys stares at you. You see this kind of big, kind of like gibbon mandrill-like creature made of pure metal with like striped, like all kinds of different like slicked colors running down their body. And you just see the creature just stares at you, making direct eye contact, wipes over the arrow pointing one way, and just points it in a slightly different direction whilst maintaining perfect eye contact with you.
That's so good.
Hey, oh, you, that was uncalled for.
A very cheeky monkey indeed.
Cheeky little monkey.
I flick him off.
He flicks you off right back. He's like, yeah.
He's just swearing at a monkey.
Oh, actually, just to see what happens.
Oh, please don't make me do a massive fight with you and like 50 monkeys.
I unwrap like my hand and like take out the gauntlet like to where all the cracks are showing, and I flick him off with that hand with real gumption.
Wow, there's like a little glow, and they're all a bit like, whoa, this is pretty serious. So you see before you this large hangar bay. There is a old signage which you assume kind of references the old company that used to own this particular hangar bay, but it's all like dilapidated and kind of things have grown over it. And there is a small little sign by the side which is almost like someone's like handwritten it, and you see that it's called the Void Chrysalis Shipyard. And as you go inside, it is a large cavernous interior, and it's very still, and there is that sort of that twang of metal actually kind of subsides a little bit, and instead a smell unlike anything you've ever smelt before arises. You see this strange coral-like structure kind of growing through the center of it. Can you go ahead and roll me an investigation check as you kind of cast your eye over this strange place?
Investigation. Of all the many stats that Ember's very good at, this one's sitting at a -1. Here we go. I just rolled a 16 -1, 15.
As you look around, you see a number of these bays where construction would take place. There is a few kind of like little plaques that are written on some of these like bays, these areas in which you can see the ships were kind of built. And there's like almost like a little key on a little plinth next to you, almost like a place where you could go in and see like, oh, this is the area I'm working on today. And you see the Eventide, the Ghost of Akos, the Far Strider, and then you see the Silverhawk.
Ah.
Which is the name of your ship.
Yeah. And is that bay, is the bay empty? Are they all empty or are they?
They're all empty, yes. And as you head over, you see a note from Iris Thorne, and as you look through these pieces of strange pieces of paper, I think something immediately catches your eye. You see a diagram of these strange golden veins. And I think almost, and actually having unwrapped your hand, and you can see now where the gold has progressed slightly up your arm, it looks very similar. And as you're kind of looking through, there's this one note. And in fact, sorry, there's a like a little kind of small like recorder box, like something where like clearly someone has used to like make some like journaled notes.
Yeah, I definitely hit play.
So as you hit play on that one, you hear the voice of this Iris Thorn.
This is most interesting. We found this seed, the one that we were gifted, and from it has now sprung the central tree, much faster than we assumed. We do not know what the seed, what type of tree it is, we do not recognize it, but what is really quite strange is that from its roots, at the base of the ship now, some of the roots themselves are turning into these small golden veins. And I have studied them endlessly. This is continuum. This is the metal that was believed to be a myth, a legend. The metal that will allow you to move forward and backwards through time. We might have inadvertently made the most expensive, most sought-after ship in the entirety of Axis. I believe that wherever this seed came from, it is from a different time, and that anything caught out of their own time will eventually turn into continuum. This is the discovery of a century, and... No. No, please!
Oh, hell. You hear a huge explosion, and it goes silent.
Shit, what? Ugh, no. Oh, I wish my friends were here.
You hear this huge thunderous sound as peering through the top of this hangar bay down towards you is a pale yellow light and the two eyes of a giant 8R311 model robot, which you might assume was a potential enemy until you see a tiny Minotaur riding on their shoulder.
Hey, down here, guys! Hey!
As you guys peer over the hangar bay and see Ember holding some papers, there's this big coral-like structure growing out of the center of this hangar bay. You, Brian, have just seen, on the way in, a number of monkeys that were all kind of sat giggling to themselves, pointing at the hangar bay, but then pointing at the arrow, and that was pointing somewhere else. And they're kind of looking at you, thinking you were going to fall for it. And I think they all seem quite upset now that you didn't fall for their that little ruse, that little prank. But you peer through and you see Ember.
I'm so glad you came the right way.
Ember, how are you?
Is that you, Brian? You got real big, friend.
Brian looks down at the nomenclature on his chest and just quickly scrawls over Bree as just this thunderous screeching as he just finishes writing Brian on his chest, just gives a bit of a thumbs up.
And Sprocket, I'm so glad you're all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Brian, can you get in here? You're kind of, I don't know if you can fit, man.
Brian does kneel to the ground and just extending his palm outwards just gives a little ramp for Sprocket to be able to jump down onto the ground.
I hop down. Hup, hup, hup. Thanks, mate. Thanks for the lift.
Okay, first things first. I go over and hug Sprocket real big.
Oh.
Real tight squeeze.
Nice to see you too, Ember.
I was so worried something was going to happen to you. I can't believe you just... When did you have to go and be so brave like that?
You smell nice.
Oh, thanks. It's elderflowers.
Yeah.
You're going to put me out of a job if you keep doing stuff like this, Sprocket.
Are
you okay? Did you get hit?
No, I'm all right. Well, look, we're all together now, so let's get on with the job, I guess.
Okay, all right, so, second thing, this hangar bay, I found where the Silverhawk was, you know, our ship, and I find some notes on when they were first building this thing, and they talked about the seed that they were first gifted that made that tree, right? That is in the center of the ship and that powers it and all that.
Yeah.
And that at the ends of the roots of the tree, they started noticing these gold similar shapes. And I hold up my hand. And they determined that is something called continuum, which affects, controls, manipulates time and the passage of time and moving through time. And that they believe the seed may have come from a different place than our own. It doesn't get better. I don't really know how to get to the end of this, but she was saying what a great discovery it was and how excited they were, but that basically anything that isn't from this time and that stays eventually just turns into continuum completely.
Are you wearing my legs as an accoutrement? Never mind.
He just stands up to his full height.
No, I didn't think about, is that disrespectful? I just want to have a little bit of you with me. I didn't know if I was going to see you again, Brian, or in what way.
I think as Brian is standing up, you probably don't see it, but a little bit of oil is just gathering at the side of his bulb. He's quite touched by this as he stands up to his full height. And we've been to two locations now. Can Brian, with his gargantuan size, see the third?
You can. This strange, almost like temple-like structure some distance away, not too far, though it is dark, there is a strange illumination now as you see that pulsing purple crack in the sky seems to be getting that little bit wider. But from it, it is casting a sort of sickly purple down onto the sort of canopy of this area. But you can see that location. And it feels like this reality is struggling to hold itself together. And I think the closer you are to the sky, the more that you can feel that presence.
Okay, so the sky's cheeks are continuing to spread open, so we should probably make a move. So, I can carry us, both of you, but, we're gonna have to move quick.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I'll climb up.
You know, I never realized you had such a way with words until you were ear-splittingly loud.
I can dial myself down if you'd like.
No, that's all right. I'm having fun. But Sprocket kind of turns to Ember, sort of like takes a deep breath and visually steals himself. He's like, well, Ember, what do you want to do about this?
Well, the way I reckon things might go, you're one of the most talented tinkerers I've seen and met and had the pleasure of getting to know. If I turn into this continuum that they describe, who better to know what to do with it than you, Sprocket? So if I really do disappear, and if this really does manipulate, you know, time in some way, all I've ever wanted to do is find Tundra again and make things right again. Maybe, even if it's not me doing it, you could use the continuum in some way and put things back to before. It wouldn't be me. I don't belong in this world, but I'm sure there's some part of me somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yes. Listen, it's a tall work order, mate, but,
sure, I mean, ideals that I don't turn into gold goo, right?
Yeah. I agree, that would be great, yeah. But,
I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
Of course, yeah. I'm your man, that's all. If you do turn into this stuff, I'll do what I can, all right?
I know I could count on you.
Okay. Brian's massive.
Yeah, Brian, is this like really loud? Or are we like right next to your microphone?
Oh, yeah.
Just speak. You're like whispering. And Brian's like, can you stop shouting? Speaking of loud, however, you do notice now that as Brian, you've been moving, behind you is an assortment of strange and weird and wonderful creatures that all now seem to be getting drawn to this rather large iron source of potential food, basically. There are probably in the hundreds of creatures now that have kind of heard and spotted you, Brian, as you're moving through this canopy. So in order to basically maximize the usage of Brian in this large new body, if you'll permit me, Brian, I will allow for Sprocket and Ember to pilot each one of your arms and sort of choose for the arm to do its own independent action as you focus on getting to that ziggurat as quickly as possible.
Less Pacific Rim it, baby. Let's go.
Love it. If you have enjoyed this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast, then why don't you go ahead and check out Oaths and Empires, which is another actual play show that IGM for the wonderful Luke Dale and Tom McKay from the amazing smash hit video game Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, in which we travail the Isle of Vale. I didn't even mean to make that rhyme. A dreary, rainy, monster-infested isle, which is determined to push our heroes to the limit. It's a fantastic listen, if I do say so myself, and I would love to see some of you over there. This episode was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Producers are me, Jasper William Cartwright, Jess Jewell, and Chad Pytel. Our social media manager is Ellie Crook, and the episodes are edited and sound designed by the wonderful Oliver Moore. And your cast for this arc is Josephine McAdam, Johnny Chiodini, and Edward Spence. And me, your GM. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.